हरि बोल
gives me a great pleasure to introduce Swami Prakashanandaji to Atlanta audience. Most of you might know about him, at least for the sake of the others who don't know. Swamiji, as a youth, came under the influence of Chinmayananda Swamiji in 1991. And as a young philosophy student, he got attracted to Vedanta as taught by Gurudev. And so he went and attended a 2-year Vedanta course in Mumbai and spent several years in India traveling.
Just some simple names of Lord Shiva. You can all repeat those.
Jagadishwara Parameshwara.
Jagadishwara Parameshwara.
Girishvara, Girishvara.
Discourse today, we are going to see Navaratri. Navaratri, 9 nights. May pay attention to that. Navaratri, night. And the last one is called Dashami. We don't say Dasharatri. We say Dashami. After the 9 nights. So, these are 9 nights dedicated to the 3 forms of the Devi. The first 3 nights are dedicated to Durga, Mother Durga. Next 3 nights, we worship Mother Lakshmi. And the last 3 nights, we worship Mother Saraswati. Durga, Lakshmi, Saraswati. They are all forms of the innate power of Bhagwan, Bhagwan's innate, intrinsic power. It is called as Maya, or Prakriti, or Pradhan, or so many names are given for that power of the Lord. The power of the Lord takes these 3 forms, and takes off also many forms, but these 3 main forms, Durga, Lakshmi, Saraswati. And this period, we worship the first 3 nights Durga, second 3 nights Lakshmi, and other 3 nights Saraswati. And why it is done in this order, you know? Because first of all, 9 nights. Nights symbolize darkness. And darkness of what? Darkness of ignorance. So we are all in the darkness of ignorance. And the 3 types of worship that is given here is a method devised by the rishis for us to come out from this darkness of ignorance. So what we have to do to come out from the darkness of ignorance, we have to follow these steps or stages. So what are these steps or stages? The steps or stages are symbolized by the 3 devis. Now look here. Just take any ordinary person, any ordinary individual, right? Not just like, you see, you are coming to temple on a regular basis, you are studying scriptures, you are worshipping God, you are searching for some higher reality, all that sort of thing. So you still are aware of something higher. You are cognizant of a higher reality and you are perhaps in search of it also. But the vast majority of humanity couldn't care less about any higher reality or anything, you know. The vast majority of humanity is concerned with all the worldly things and running after this enjoyment, that enjoyment, the other thing. And if you ask about spirituality and God and all that higher reality and all, they don't know what you're talking about. In fact, even if we catch people in an environment like this, many times people just come to the religious field because of very superficial reasons. I am having some problem, so I pray to the Lord to rid that problem. So the person doesn't want Lord. People in this religious field do not want God. They want God to be there, the one who runs errands for them. That is how people in the spirit, in the religious field are. God is the one who runs errands for us. You send him there, go buy Pepsi for me, please. This is the majority of people in spirit, in the religious field. Therefore, religion is not sufficient. We have to look towards the spiritual. Spirituality is more important. Where, and this is the difference, in religion, I want God to do things for me. So he runs errands for me. He is my slave. That is religion. Spirituality, I don't want any of these things. I want God only. I want to merge with God. This is the difference. So, even in the religious field, you'll find that people are really not interested in God. So in the religious field, people are not interested in God. What to think about outside? People never even go to any religious institution or anything. There is no inkling of there's such higher power or anything like that. So now, because this is the fact, most people are there, what we say? Existing in a darkness of ignorance. We don't know of anything higher. We don't know about ourselves. We don't know about this world. We don't know about anything. It means we don't know the three main things. Jiva, Jagat, and Jagadishwara. We know nothing of. It means this Jiva, the individual. Jagat and Jagadishwara. We know nothing of any of them. So, these nine nights have been designed by the rishis so wonderfully so that we'll start coming out from this darkness of ignorance which we are living in. All of us are living in this darkness of ignorance where we know nothing of Jiva, Jagat or Jagadishwara. Now how it is designed? I'll show you. See here. Mother Durga is the destructive force. If you see the story in the Puranas and all, she herself was brought into being to destroy such demons, you know, terrible demons and all that were there. So, she is called a destructive force. So what that means? Now in our life, there are all of these negative tendencies, negative traits and characteristics which are there inside of us. Simple, simple things. Bhagavan makes a whole big list of them. It's called Asuri Sampat. He makes a whole list of them in Bhagavad Gita. All the negative traits and all the negative qualities and all things. We have to destroy them from our life. So the first part of our spiritual journey then, that is why Durga is worshipped first. The first part of our spiritual journey is to start to remove all these negative tendencies from our personality. The Ramayana of Tulsidasi says, there's Shat Vikar, six Vikars, Kaam, Krodh, Mad, Lobh, all these things you know, na? And jealousy, envy, pride, all things like anger and desire, laziness, tamas. The laziness is the worst. Because laziness is the very embodiment of tamas. So you tell the person, let us become spiritual. Let us sit down and learn these scriptures. The mind finds some excuse not to learn that thing. So tamas takes over the mind and he never learns. So, this is the first shortcoming of the mind. But it is taken over by tamas. And it is tamas that leads to all of these negative things. Tamas and rajas. When Arjuna asked Bhagavan, Prabhu, athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichanna pivarshneya bala adivan yojitaha. By what force inside of me am I driven to commit sin? Papam charati. Something inside of me is driving me to commit sin, to do all wrong things instead of doing right things. So that time, Bhagavan says, it's a simple thing. We call us kama. That kama leads to krodh. And this kama, krodh, they are born from rajas. Kama eshaha, krodha eshaha, Rajoguna Samudbhavaha. Born from Rajas. So this Tamas and Rajas, they cause us to culture in our mind and in our heart, foster so many negative things. So the first part of my spiritual journey is to invoke the power of Durga to remove all of these negative tendencies which are there in the heart. So some person is telling me, anyway, satsang is going on in this temple every Sunday. Chalo na, let's go. For years, we tell him, and he doesn't. So there's a negative tendency there. No. Or sometimes he feels that he knows too much already. Or his laziness on Sunday is the only day I have to sleep, you know. Or he has some negative image of what goes on there in that satsang. They are only there to take people's money, you know. So he makes some excuse. So that negative thing, it is called a durasha. Negative thing which prevents him from going. So that thing has to be removed first. Nah. It has to be destroyed. Then only he'll get up one day and he'll go to that satsang. Go to that discourse. Go there. Or the person who... See, come back again to what I was telling about before. The person only holds or only goes to the temple or goes to the place of worship only to ask Bhagwan to do something. No, that is not spirituality. So that tendency has to be removed. The Bhagwan is not an errand runner, you know. He runs errands. I should want to come out from this cycle of birth and death permanently. Not just to ask Bhagwan, please take care of this little thing for me, Prabhu. And we make bargain with the Lord also. I will offer this much. Please, you do this much for me. And when it doesn't work, then we ask Prabhu, I didn't give enough. And we make, in our head, we have calculations. If I give this much, I should get this much. That is amazing. One fellow was telling in our religion, when we get our salary, we give 10% to Bhagwan. The other one said, nothing, we give 20%. The third one said, still nothing. When we get our salary, we throw the whole thing up for the Lord. And we say, Prabhu, what you want, you take. What you don't want, let it come back. So we feel that when we give this much or we give that much, we should get this much in return and all that kind of thing. We make some mental calculations and all. That is not spirituality. That is cheap religion. And all religions of all times have, not only this religion, all religions have this type of cheap kind of salesmanship thing. You give this much, sales is like that, na? If you give $20, you should get $20 worth of candy. So if I pray this much, I should get that much. You see? So, we say that negative thing also has to be removed. Therefore, for removing all the different shades of negativities, and negativities comes in so many hues and colors and shades and manifestations, and they come stealthily. There are so many negative things inside of us that we do not even know that we have something negative. It is amazing how negative things hide. Because inside there is darkness, and in darkness, anything can hide, isn't it? There's darkness of ignorance, and because of darkness of ignorance is there, anything can hide very easily. And we never know that it is a negative thing that I have inside. That is an amazing thing. So, look, I'll just show you some simple thing. One soldier was bringing his subordinate, major general, he was bringing all his soldiers, and they came under a tree. The tree was so big, sprawling, and they rested under the shade of that tree. And then he looked at this tree and he said, man, what a big tree. And it has survived so many years also, such a long time. How it has survived? So he plucked a leaf and he fed it to his horse. The horse didn't eat that. Then He himself tasted it. It was bitter, that leaf. Then he got one of the dried branches from that tree and he tried to burn it. It did not burn. It was smoking. You know, some things burn and they smoke only. It was smoking. He said, see, this tree, and then that fruit, a little fruit, he tried it. It was bitter. The birds also would not eat it. And this is how this tree survived. Useless. No animal will eat that, little bird will eat that fruit. No, it will not burn. It will not, you know, our mind quickly will turn to looking at this. When we say it is useless, but you have to think the other side, you know. Look here, if Bhagwan made this tree, then it must have some purpose, you know. And the purpose was to give shade to this major general and all his soldiers, but he did not see that. You see? So he was having nice shade, yet criticizing the tree. In other words, he takes from the tree, takes shade, but criticizes this is a useless tree. So how many subtle types of negativities like this the mind has? That is ungratefulness, isn't it? But I'm taking shade, and at the same time, criticizing. That poor tree stands in that hot sun and protects me from the heat. And I never think of its welfare or anything. So go on looking at all the different types of negativities inside, which manifest in so many varied and variegated ways. You have to go on searching. And we remove them by their what is called antithesis. So the person who you hate, see, that's a negative trait. The one who you hate, that is the person you should go and talk to. That is the antithesis. Go and talk to that person only. Like that. So when we do that, we'll be invoking the power of Durga to remove all the negative things. Then, we have to invoke the power of Lakshmi. Lakshmi is the goddess of wealth. Throughout the scriptures, we have terms like Shamadi Shatka Sampattihi. Sampatti means wealth. And what is the wealth described in the scriptures? Shama, Dama, Uparama, Titiksha, Gara, you know, all the great qualities we have to develop in our personality. So one type we eradicate, and the other type we imbibe. Again, in 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord makes a list there of Devi Sampat. Again, the word Sampat is used. Sampat means wealth again. But people interpret Lakshmi only to mean, you know, money, that type of wealth. But in Navaratri, to come out from this period of darkness, to come out from the period of darkness, I invoke Durga first to remove negativities. I invoke Lakshmi second to imbibe all the great wealths which are described in the scriptures. So what are some of these wealths? You know. Here it's called Shama. Shama means the calmness of the mind. Dhamma, control of the senses and all. Those type of things. Calmness of the mind. Calmness of the mind means what? The mind is all the time agitated, running here and there. And usually it is agitated because of desires. So the desires have to be given up. How? If desires have to be given up, I have to develop Vairagya. And if Vairagya is to be developed, how? Through Viveka. So I have to go on. So the invoking of Lakshmi really means the development of Viveka, Vairagya, Shamadi, Shatka Sampatti. Like that. I go on developing detachment from things. People say, Swami, I detach from my wife, my husband, my children, everybody. Yes. We say yes. Why? You cannot live with them detached? You can. In fact, that is the best way to live with them. Detached from them. When you're attached to them, what happens in attachment, you know? There are two people. So when one is having great sorrow, the other one also is suffering the sorrow of the first one. So what happens is that you start living two people's lives. So if this one is having sorrow, this one starts experiencing the sorrow of that one. So what you're doing is actually multiplying sorrow. What you have to do is if you detach, you say, okay, I know you're having sorrow and your sorrow is your prarabdha.
But what do? I make it now also mine. So we go on living, unnecessarily taking up the sorrows of others, and we multiply sorrow. So detachment helps me to live my life. And everybody comes with their own prarabdha, and they will face their own sorrow. That this is the concept of Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. He is already blind. She also goes on. She makes herself blind voluntarily. Like that. Absolutely unnecessary. All Mahatma said is such a wrong decision that she made. Why, one is already blind, you want to make yourself blind also? What is this? By prarabdha, he is blind. You start a new karma. So, detachment, which comes from deep thinking. When we go on developing all of the great qualities of scriptures like this, that is called invoking the Lakshmi principle, the wealth principle in the world. All the great qualities, they are called as wealth in the scriptures. Abhayam sattva samshuddhi. Bhagavan says abhayam means fearlessness. So like that, resigning yourself to God and giving up fear slowly. You may not be able to give up all fear, but there are so many things which you are afraid of, right? Simple things. People have all sorts of what we call superstitions and all, and we are afraid that, you know, I believe this thing, and if I don't do it, I'm afraid something will happen. So giving up fear, purity of mind, keeping all the negative things out and bringing in all the positive things. So the scriptures go on telling. Now the last one there is Saraswati. Durga, remove all negative traits. Lakshmi, I develop all positive traits. I culture and foster all positive things in myself. And finally now, I seek Atma Gyan, knowledge of the self. That is Saraswati. She is the goddess of knowledge. Vidya. Vidya Dayini. See.
Sharde, Sharde, Hamsa Vahini Sharde. Sharde, Sharde, Hamsa Vahini Sharde. Sharde, Vakilasini Sharde. Sharde, Sharde, Vakilasini Sharde. Sharde, Sharde, Hamsa Vahini Sharde. Shankar Pujit Sharde, Santan Vandit Sharde. Shankar Pujit Sharde, Santan Vandit Sharde. Veena Pani Sharde, Vidya Dayini Sharde. Pani Sharde, Vidya Dayini Sharde. Hey, Sharde, Sharde, Hamsa Vahini Sharde. Hey, Sharde, Sharde, Hamsa Vahini Sharde. Vakvilasini Sharde, Shankar Pujit Sharde, Santan Vandit Sharde, Veena Pani Sharde, ಕಾಯಿ ವಿಶಾರದೆ ವಿದ್ಯಾದಾಯಿ ಶಾರದೆ
ವಿದ್ಯಾದಾಯಿನಿ ಶಾರದೆ. ಸೊ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ತ್ರೀ ನೈಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಪೆಂಟ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪಿಂಗ್ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ. ದಟ್ ಸಿಂಬಲೈಸಸ್ ದಿ ಅಕ್ವಿಸಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್. ಶಿ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಗಾಡೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬಿ ಅಕ್ವೈರ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ರಿಯಲಿ ಮೀನ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಅಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟೇ ವಿತ್ ಅಸ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಮೇಡ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಕಂಡ್ಯೂಸಿವ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಕ್ವಿಸಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬಿ ಮೇಡ್ ಕಂಡ್ಯೂಸಿವ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಕ್ವಿಸಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ರಿಮೂವಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ನೆಗೆಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ಇಂಬೈಬಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಪಾಸಿಟಿವ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಕಾಲ್ ಯು ನೋ ಇನ್ ಟ್ರಿನಿಡಾಡ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಕಾಲ್ ಅರ್ವಿ. ಅರ್ವಿ ಯು ನೋ ಸಮ್ root plant and there's a big leaf like this and when the water falls on that leaf it, shh. Tamara, yes. So there we use that example when water falls, shh. So the mind which has all these negativities, if any gyan falls on that mind, so the mind has to be made like a sponge. So when the knowledge falls on that, it stays. So how that is to be done? By removal of all the negativities, and we have to make that mind fertile by bringing all the positive qualities, all the positive traits. And then when knowledge is given to such a mind, that person is able to retain that knowledge and meditate on that knowledge. So this is symbolized by the last 3 days of worshipping Saraswati. Now, it means we invoke Saraswati, we invoke knowledge, we acquire knowledge. Now, what knowledge? Now, I'll tell you a little bit about that. Bhagwan starts in Bhagavad Gita, you know. He starts telling Arjuna. In the beginning of his teaching, Arjuna was going on talking in the whole of the first chapter. So the Lord didn't have any chance to say anything because Arjuna was going on and on. Have you seen sometimes some people like that? They talk on and on and on. And you say, and you try to say, but he said, hold on, I'll tell you just now. And you cannot get a word in edgewise even. So Arjuna was like that in first chapter. Bhagavan could not say anything. Then, when he talked and talked and talked, and then he became weak and he fell down. And Bhagavan thought, no, this is a good time. Better I talk now, you know. So the Lord started telling, Ashochyanan vashochastvam prajna vadanscha bhashase. Gatasun gatasumscha nanushochanti pandita. Arjuna, you weep for things that ought not to be wept. And then you talk words like a wise man also. What is that? You talk like a wise man and behave like a fool. That is the idea. So, the Lord started there from that verse, going on giving Arjuna all knowledge that you take yourself to be an individual jiva, when in fact you are deathless, ajaha, nitya, shashvataha, puranaha, like that. He goes on giving Arjuna absolute knowledge. Now, from there, he goes all the way down to 18th chapter, giving Arjuna knowledge one after the next, all different pieces of knowledge. Like that, we have to spend our time acquiring this knowledge. Now, Gurudev starts this knowledge even more simply than that, because sometimes all this Atma, Paramatma, it is unborn, eternal, this, that, all those things mean nothing, you know. So what type of knowledge he starts giving? Simple knowledge. What is that? He says, look here. You look at your own self. Now this is the knowledge which we are supposed to acquire. When we say we worship Saraswati, we are supposed to be acquiring this type of knowledge. So, how do we start to acquire? We say, look here, I look at myself. I have 3 parts of my personality. I have a body, which is this physical part which you see here. Inside, I have an emotional part of my personality where I feel all emotions. And even deeper than that, I have another part which is called the intellectual part of my personality. So in this body, I do actions. I lift this thing, right? It's an action. Now, I can't lift that thing with my mind. Or my heart. No matter how much I try to lift it with my heart, and I say, I love you, please lift. I can't lift it, isn't it? I have to lift it with my body. So the first part of the personality is the body, physical part, by which we do physical actions. The second part is where I feel all emotions. So I feel emotions of anything, negative or positive emotions. I feel emotions of love, compassion, or hatred. It's opposite. So many different types of emotions I go on feeling. That is another part of the personality. That is the part that feels hurt when somebody tells you something negative. Today you dressed really ugly. Somebody tells you. I don't know what type of ugly clothes you're wearing. And I feel that you look miserable today also. No, somebody tells you something negative like that, and you immediately go in the mirror and you look. Because some part of you gets hurt like that. Or you're the most despicable person I know. When somebody tells you. So that thing hurts you. So the part that gets hurt, that is the emotional side of your being. The emotional part. And then there's an intellectual part where you do all calculations and analysis, planning, and all different things like that. That is called the intellectual part. Huh? 2 + 2. You cannot say, I feel it is 4. There's not a feeling. Either you know or you don't. You don't know. One fellow went for an accounting job, you know. So the boss asked him, 2 + 2. He said, how much do you want it to be? He said, you're hired. So, it is not a feeling. Either you know or you don't know. That is the intellectual side of the being, you see. So these are the three parts of the personality. So this type of knowledge, I acquire slowly. Now, I can see what is going on at the level of the body. I can see what is going on at the level of the mind, which is the emotional part. And I can see what is going on at the level of the intellect, which is the intellectual part, right? I can see all three of them perfectly. Now, if I can see them, it means there's somebody who is seeing. It means also that I am not them. If I can see something, when I see my car, I know that I am not my car. The one who is seeing has to be different from the thing which is seen. So, there's a distinction between seer and seen. Now, this is one stage deeper in the knowledge. The acquisition of knowledge like this is the invoking of the Saraswati principle. So, I have to spend time now acquiring knowledge. I am the seer. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Now we'll find out who is this seer, what is his nature, what is he like. So with the guidance of gurus and all, and scriptures, and the tradition, the sampradaya and all, I go on inquiring into the seer. Forget about the seen, because already I know what that is. Now I'm going to inquire into the seer, who is seeing. So as we do that, we come closer and closer to ourselves. The true seer, who is Satchitananda. Who is an amsha of Ishvara, Ishvara amsa, Jeev Avinashi, is Avinashi, imperishable. So as we do that, we go closer and closer to ourselves and we discover the reality in us. And that is when all the acquisition of knowledge, see first here, Durga, all the removal of negative tendencies, the imbibing of all the great positive traits and the acquisition of knowledge, all of them fructify or they materialize into the Dashami day. Dashami means the enlightenment day. So it is not a night. Here we come out, these are nights where the darkness of ignorance is still there. So we don't say Dashami night. That is daylight now. So it symbolizes enlightenment. The last day symbolizes enlightenment. And it starts with these 9 nights of Durga Lakshmi Saraswati. Very important for us to go through the process also. Now, in language and in presentation on paper and in scriptures and all, we have to go on putting it in a systematic way. You see, the first 3 days like this, then the next 3 days like that, then the next 3 days like that. And it is given in a kind of order like that, right? But you know that in real life, things are not like that, you know. You're removing negative qualities, but at the same time, you're trying to develop positive things. It is not that you remove all the negative qualities, then you say, okay, all the negative things have been removed. Now I'm going to develop all positive ones. Life is not like that. Sometimes both are going on simultaneously, you see. But just for the sake of presentation and for the sake of, we have to have some sort of order in when we teach, in a system. Yes, an order in what we teach. So this is just a system or an order in the teaching. But life in truth and in fact is a mixture. So while you're trying to remove negative qualities, you're also trying to acquire some knowledge at this, on this side. That is how life is. Life is not something on paper. Nobody could write down exactly what life is on paper. But the rishis have designed this nice process, and then there's a Dashami Day which symbolizes enlightenment. And most of us are down here where we have to remove all these negative things. You see? So Durga is very important for us. That's why Durga is so popular. So many temples, you see Durga Mandir. Very rare you'll see Saraswati Mandir, isn't it? Because most people, we have to remove all these negativities, especially this laziness and durasha and all these things. When the person is not at all inspired to go to any satsang or any discourse like this, he's not at all ready to go and listen to anybody. So there are so many negativities which are preventing him even from starting. And the vast majority. So there Durga is most important. And so the number of Saraswati Mandir is also very less on this side. Because how many make it through to acquire knowledge? You see? All right. So, don't take the forms of the deity to just mean, you know, people take it to mean all sorts of things, actually. Some people invoke Durga. Some people go invoke Durga to remove somebody in the community. I'll invoke Durga, we'll remove that person. Like that. Crazy things. We'll invoke the power of Durga. Look. So people take these forms of the deity and they use for anything. No. All right. So the Dashami day now is the day of enlightenment. That is called the 10th day after we have gone through this process. Now, what about this? All this worship and offerings and all things we are making on these days, you know, to the different deities and all. So what you should be thinking on those days, yes, I make my offerings and let all your worship and your rituals and all your puja and all the things remind you of this process you are supposed to follow. Suppose you can't follow it right now and you are only at the stage of making all the offerings and all that kind of thing. That is okay. But you should have in your mind some planned program, you know, that I'm going to start on this spiritual path. Right now, I'm only at the stage where I'm doing all these offerings and I'm worshipping these three forms of the Devi. And I have not really started on the path yet, but I'm going to start soon. And put some kind of program for yourself and start. Get into some spiritual classes, study group, something. Not just come and do the worship and the rituals and all and go home. That is only the ABC. So you will go to school and you will only learn ABC and then finish? What is this? One mother is asking, one son is asking the mother, Mom, how it is that when the teacher asked today, 2 + 2, I said 4 immediately, and none of the other children knew it. Is it because I am smart? That mother said, no, son, it is not because you are smart. It is because you are 29 years old and you are still in grade 1. Now, look at this. If you are 29 years old and you are still in grade 1, then that sounds foolish, isn't it? So what are you supposed to do? Don't just stay at the level of the rituals. I mean, nothing is wrong with the rituals, but it is the ABC. You don't want to stay only at the level of the ABC. You want to move now to grade 2, grade 3, grade 4. All right. So this is Navaratri and Dashami. And so nicely laid out also by the rishis. All right. Okay.
गोविंद मेरो है गोपाल मेरो है गोविंद मेरो है गोपाल मेरो है श्री बांके बिहारी नंदलाल हरी नंद लाल मेरो है नंद लाल मेरो है गोविंद मेरो है गोपाल मेरो है गोविंद मेरो है गोपाल मेरो है पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय नैवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति हरि ओम हरि ओम।